ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعم يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: مثل الغني ظلم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أنذر مؤثرا أو وزع عنه أذل الله في ظل يوم القيامة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونهن ولا ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us this great ni'mat and favor of iman. And this iman is so valuable, my dear brothers, that until a single person remains on the face of this earth, Allah ta'ala will keep the system of the earth going. The sun will rise, the sun will set, the rains will come, everything will continue. It comes in a hadith, the day comes that a single person remains on the face of the earth who takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will destroy this earth. That is why in one hadith, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّكُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآرِ آخِرَ وَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ إِسْلَاتُ السَّلَامُ. That this world has been created for the benefit of men, and man himself has been created for a very, very high purpose. That means to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the akhirat. It does not mean, my dear brothers, that we have to divorce ourselves from the matters of this world. In fact, if we look at the hadith of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maamlat and dealings have been dealt in such detail that when Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, a great student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, was asked that, "Oh great Imam, you have written so many kitabs, but you have not written any kitab on tasawuf." And we know what tasawuf is, mashallah, in particular where Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Madras Zillo is, he's making so much effort on the reformation of our character. Then Imam Muhammad rahmatullah immediately replied, "Did you not see my kitabul mamlat on dealings? When your dealings are straight, then automatically there is tasawuf, there is a sign that this person has got a true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within him. A person whose dealings are clean in every way, whether it be buying and selling, whether it be our social etiquettes and attributes." As last night another very senior alim, Hazrat Maulana Harun Sahib, was speaking, and he drew our attention that how important it is to bring into our lives the rights of our fellow brothers we do not even regard as rights. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that it was his habit, my dear brothers, that he and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to share the milk every night. And we know that he was from the Ashab-e Suffa. The Ashab-e Suffa was a madrasa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we go to Madinah Munawwara, Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of visiting Madinah Munawwara and granting us a maqbool hazri. A visit, my dear brothers, is of benefit. So sad it is to see the very Madinah Munawwara, where our great Akabirin and Buzrugani Deen used to prepare themselves and go after many, many days. It is there was a Shaykh ul-Hind and Mawlana Qasim Nanuri rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind, Mawlana Mahmudul Hasan rahmatullah alayhi, the first student of Darul Uloom Deoband, was a very, very weak person in nature. But when he should draw close to Madinah Munawwara, then for miles before he used to get off and walk barefooted into Madinah Munawwara. Hazrat Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi used to go to Madinah Munawwara and never used to pass excretion in Madinah Munawwara and say that this is a place where Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba kiram walked. How can I pass my urine in this particular place? For 6 to 7 days he used to keep his urine and then go out of Madinah Munawwara and go and pass his urine there. Hazrat Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, whose grave also is in General Baqi, Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of not only visiting General Baqi but becoming a residence of General Baqi. It is related of him that he never used to ride on any convenience in Madinah al-Munawwara and say Madinah al-Munawwara where Nabi Pak alayhi salatu wasalam used to walk, then how can Malik walk on that particular ride on any convenience in that particular place where Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to walk? We know Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Manni rahmatullah alayhi, that he was blessed, was giving dars in Madina Munawwara. And with so much adab, used to say that many, many days used to pass with hunger, without having anything to eat. Then Hazrat Mani Rahmatullah used to go, and we have this type of a melon. The people used to throw the peels away. Hazrat Mani Rahmatullah used to take those peels, boil those peels, and then drink from the water. That is a type of adab and respect they stayed within Madina Munawwara, my dear brothers. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, the founder of Darul Uloom Deoband, it is related that when something used to be sent to him from Madina Munawwara, that even the string used to take and put it one side and look after it. Someone told him, "Oh Hazrat, but the string is not from Madina Munawwara. It is made somewhere in Taiwan or made somewhere in China, wherever it may have been made and manufactured." He said, "I also am aware of the fact, but has it not passed the streets of Madina Munawwara? So Allah grant us also the tawfiq of the true love of Madina Munawwara." How sad it is to see, my dear brothers, today in our country itself, we have advertisements of this nature that taking our young children to Madina Munawwara and to play football matches there. As it is, sports, my dear brothers, has been invented by the kuffar to turn the attention of men away from his object of life and to become engaged in all those things which distracts a person completely. We recently witnessed some World Cup cricket or World Cup soccer, whatever it is. What is the definition of soccer itself? Soccer itself is 22 people sitting together and kicking air around. Because if that air is taken out of a ball, that ball is completely insignificant. And 50,000 people sitting and jumping there, and now a couple of million people around the world sitting and jumping, and the Muslims, my dear brothers, have left the objective of their lives. That is why we see Kosovo has come about, we see Bosnia has come about, we see Kashmir has come about. And in this very country too, my dear brothers, if we are not going to change our lifestyle, then my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala does not have any relationship with men. The Jews and Christians saw they were the chosen people of Allah Ta'ala. They even said, "We are the children of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and we can do what they wish." But my dear brothers, between Allah Ta'ala and mankind, no bond exists. If we will be correct, we will change our lives, and the majority of people have got to change their lives. And our mamlaat will be correct, our dealings will be correct, our ibadat will be correct, then Allah's mercy will dawn upon us. And my dear brothers, if the object of our life becomes like the kuffar, we do what they do, we live what they live like, and that is the objective, my dear brothers, to deter men from what he should be doing, then my dear brothers, wherever a person may be, he can never achieve peace, he can never achieve success. And that is a problem we have today, my dear brothers. Because our outlook to life generally has changed. And because of that, we are seeing the suffering of the Muslim world. In the time of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, it is not something I wish to speak about, and Hajjaj bin Yusuf was supposed to be the most oppressive ruler in Muslim history. The izzat and honor of one woman was robbed in Sindh. He got his army and took revenge of this, that while Hajjaj is living, the honor of a Muslim lady cannot be taken. That was the level of iman of the most oppressive ruler in Islam. And in today what is happening, my dear brothers, it is shown openly in all the medias what is being done to our Muslim sisters, whether it be in Kashmir, whether it be in Bosnia, whether it be in Kosovo, wherever the parts of the world, in Somalia. It does not even deter our heart. Nothing is moved. We continue the lives we are living. We have not even left one time of eating. We have not even got up at night and cried for our brothers. So my dear brothers, the reason is that we got to change our lives. And how can we change our lives? That is very, very important. It is most important that our mamlaat and dealings, just two or three hadiths I wish to speak on this, that I wish to quote, that has got to become correct, my dear brothers. Because if haram enters our body, then my dear brothers, any amount of ibadat will have no effect in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that hadith, that dua, regarding the dua, is very, very famous. That a person comes, Allah Ta'ala says, he lifts his hand to the skies, but what he eats is haram, what he drinks is haram, what he wears is haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How can that person's dua be accepted? The first condition of the acceptance of our duas is this, that what we earn must be halal, what we spend must be halal, my dear brothers. And our objective must be this, that come what may be, we will not in any way do any wrong dealing. We will not take interest for the sake of our business to survive. If a person says, "Mulsapad, in these days, how is it possible for a person to do business without taking an overdraft?" Then that, my dear brothers, is shak and doubt. That is the first step where a person comes out of the fold of Islam. There are four steps a person comes out of the fold of Islam, mentioned in Surah Yusuf in 24th para. The first step is this: when a person has any sort of doubt that any law of Islam at any time till the day of Qiyamah, it is not make possible to amal on, my dear brothers. Yes, there is a different matter that if our means become the same as the means of the kuffar and disbelievers, we believe that we should get our money and earn the money, whether it be the right way or wrong way. And our object is this, that our prosperity in this world also lies in gaining material wealth. If that is our object in life, and that is our outlook to life, then, my dear brothers, it's a different matter. Then, my dear brothers, deen of Islam is not for us. Islam's deen, Allah Ta'ala has sent to join men with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has sent us on this earth not for a permanent life, for a temporary life, to see how we react and how we act in our lives and how we behave in our lives in all conditions. In some difficulty, we make sabr and we turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Some good comes to us, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is food in the house, alhamdulillah. If there is no food in the house also, alhamdulillah. It is said of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangari rahmatullah alayhi, that he used to wear sometimes a shirwani and seemed to be a very, very wealthy person of that particular time. And the condition in the house used to be this, that day in and day out, there was hunger and faqa in the house. So somebody who used to come to his house to be khidmat, he exposed the secret of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi to somebody. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah became so angry that you have blown out our secret. You have given the game away. Our object was to cover this so that the help of Allah Ta'ala comes to us. It is related when a person is hungry and he makes sabr, then Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of marifat for that particular person. So that was the condition of our kabirin and our buzrugani deen, my dear brothers. And we can see what our condition is. That today we go around and how much we hear of complaints a person says that a person has done me down and is a Muslim brother that has done me down. This concept of insolvency, there's no concept of insolvency in Islam, my dear brothers. First and foremost, to take den and to take a karza, a person can only do it under dire necessary circumstances. Our buzrugani deen even advise us, even if death comes to you, do not go and take a loan unnecessarily. Only in the case of a dire circumstance can you take a loan. Because taking money and giving you money, in reality is interest. It has been made halal only for under necessity. And after it been making the halal only necessity, it becomes wajib to return that money. It was so severe in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning used to ask, if a person used to pass away, that has he got any den on him before performing his another namaz? If a person had den, and he did not leave behind enough wealth to repay his den, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to refuse to perform his another namaz. Until somebody had taken responsibility, that was a different matter. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to perform his janazah namaz. Comes in hadith, matlul ghani zulmun, that if a person has a means to repay the wealth, and then to the person delays, and does not pay the person from whom it had taken the loan in any way, then that is a great zulm and a great oppression in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in one hadith, where Hazrat Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Jahash radiallahu anhu relates, who was a son of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jahash, was a brother-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when we visit Madinah Munawwara, we go to Uhud. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jahash radiallahu ta'ala is among those fortunate Sahabi who became shaheed in the battle of Uhud and is buried there in Uhud with Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and 70 other great Sahabi who lost their lives in the battle of Uhud. The matter of Uhud also teaches us many, many things, my dear brothers. That in the beginning, victory had come to the lot of the Muslims. But because the Muslims, and out of the Muslims, 50 people had made one ijtihadi mistake. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it, appointed the archers on the mount there, they call it the Jabal al-Rumat, and told him, under no circumstances should you move from here. Even if our bodies are cut to pieces, you should not move. And they thought now the battle is over, the kuffar is retreating. It is not necessary to stay on our position. And at that time, out of the 60, the 50s thought that now we are going to leave our post. And they went down. And Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid at that time was still not a Muslim. He saw the opportunity, came from beyond. And my dear brothers, the truth of Rasulullah Pak was made shaheed. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala lost his life. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala became shaheed. And 70 great sahabis became shaheed in that particular battle. Just because of opposing one command of Rasulullah Sallam, and that is not also intentionally. They thought now it is not necessary to do what Rasulullah Pak had commanded us to do, and the battle is over. Some ulama have written, we can see from this, that how important it is to maintain any position that Rasulullah Pak Sallam had given some people. We can understand from this that, for instance, there is a position of men in Islam, because this subject is very, very rife today, and the position of women in Islam. The position of women in Islam is that they should look after the household. And if the mother is at home, that home is alive, my dear brothers. If the mother is not at home, that home, my dear brother, is not a home, is a hotel, and that is where the drug sins coming, where the children do not get the love. And then we try and buy the love of our children because we do not give them what they deserve. So we try and buy their love by giving them money, by sending them for umrah tours, by doing different things, thinking that we're going to buy the love of our children. No, my dear brothers, the children do not deserve that, and nor it is their rights. Their right is for us to give them the good akhlaq and the tarbiyah that they need, and for that will be a question on the day of Qiyamah. And for that it is very, very necessary that our mothers be the cornerstone of in our houses. In the same manner, in the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given the 60 Sahabis that commanded, this is your position. Come what may, you do not leave your position. If you lose your position, then the whole army is going to suffer. In the same way, our mothers have the position to play at home. If they are going to leave the position at home and leave that particular place which has been appointed for them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a very, very great responsibility, the first tarbiyat of the child starts from home, then, my dear brothers, if they have to leave their positions, then men can go out in jamaat, they can do what they like. All of us can become, all men can reach the stage of the Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. But if the woman has left a stage, a position, my dear brothers, then the Muslim ummah can never succeed, because our children, they will be brought up as orphans and they will become a waste, my dear brothers. It is related, there was one incident, just by the way, that when this massacre took place in Russia, there are various reasons for it. I do not wish to go into that. But at that time, one mother was sending her son off. And she sent her son off in a way, they said, oh my son, remember that come what may, do not go and surrender yourself to the kuffar. Because whenever I gave you milk, I always made wuzu and gave you milk. And whenever I gave you milk, I read Bismillah and gave you milk. So become shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but do not go and disgrace the name of Islam. And that is how she sent her son off, not know whether she will see her son again. That is the type of some of the mothers that were existing in that particular time too, my dear brothers. Similarly, it is related of Amir Amanullah in Afghanistan, that one time a rumor had come that your son had gone to fight the British and he has surrendered and he has lost. The mother said it cannot happen. The second time a rumor came again in the bazaar. Then, my dear brothers, the second rumor was this, that he is coming back with great victory. She said, it's possible this may happen. After some time, the son returned victoriously. Amir Amanullah asked his wife, the first also was a rumor and the second also was a rumor. What is the reason that the first rumor you verified, you did not accept, you rejected it completely, and the second rumor you verified? He said, remember that since I've attained puberty, no Ghair Mahram has set his eyes upon me. And whenever I gave milk to our son, I read Durood Sharif, I made wuzu, and I fed our son. So a child who is brought up in that particular way, it is possible he goes out and becomes shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for him to go and surrender in the arms of the enemies, it is not possible for that son to do that. Today we can talk of the glory of Islam, and we send our sisters to the gyms, my dear brothers, in that evil environment, and then we accept Islam to rise. How can our children rise, my dear brothers, when the tarbiyat from day one is made wrong? When it is related that how a woman has to react at the time of pregnancy, that is the type of effect that comes onto the child that is in the mother's stomach. And there are many, many instances of this nature. So anyway, that was just by the way, that is very, very important that whatever duty is given to anyone, a person must not forsake the duty. The position of our mothers is a very, very lofty position. Even now, when the Mujahideen Afghan have brought a strict Islamic law and code for our women, the people from the West came because they cannot see this. They know that once a woman has come onto the right path, this qawm and this nation is going to prosper. They become a threat for us, in spite of all the disadvantages against the Taliban. And when one of the delegations came from the West, and they said that, what is this? You have stopped your women from going to universities, etc. What a beautiful reply the Amirul Mu'minin gave them. He said, we have not stopped and closed the universities for women. But we are Muslims, we have a nizam of ta'lim of our own. There's a different education system that we have from yours. We do not wish our women to become enslaved to the West, where the poor woman is used for the sake of advertising one Coca-Cola bottle. She is an economic tool of the West. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh of Pakistan used to say, when this matter was brought, that our women are either our mothers and Jannat lies under her feet. Today, my dear brothers, because of leaving the tariqah of Islam, our mothers have no place in our houses. Sometimes a person feels an old age home is a blessing in our society to see what the poor mother has to go through in a house. Or she may be your wife. Nabi Pak alayhi salatu wasalam says, khairukum khairukum li ahlihi. The best amongst you is the best to his family. Or either she may be your daughter. And Nabi Pak alayhi salatu wasalam says that a person, Allah has given a daughter, he raises her properly, gives her a good name, gives her the proper dini, ta'lim and education, gets her married to a next suitable match she finds for and gets her married, then Jannat has been assured for such a person. And there is so much stress that some of the fuqaha write that if you give something in your lifetime to your daughter, then it should be not less than what you give to the son. You give, for instance, your estate in your lifetime, then the daughter should get the same. Some fuqaha say you must even give more to your daughter. So much ihsan you must make as far as material means are concerned if you give your life. Of course, as far as inheritance is concerned, there is a different issue completely. Or she is your sister, and your sister has the same rights as what your wife has. So these are our women in Islam. There is no fourth woman in Islam. Either she's our mother, either she's our daughter, either she's our sister. So Amirul Mu'minin replied that we have a different nizam. If our woman had to go out and earn, then why is Allah Ta'ala created as men? And it's only logical, my dear brothers, today we talk of the economic world. If we say that the husband must work, the wife must work, I'm not going to talk on a practical part that the makeup in the cosmetic industry is the biggest industry today. In every industry, we have some sort of a downtrend, but the cosmetic industry has never failed. Because the woman, poor woman, has to make herself and present herself to the kuffar. And the amount of money she's got to spend, the little earning extra comes in, that all goes away. But at the same time, when she is working, she is depriving another male of working. So in the end, you come back to square one. So that is just, by the way, Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, my dear brothers, unfortunately, time is up. Allah grant us the tawfiq of fulfilling the rights that we have to fulfill. And Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of earning the right way and spending the right way. There are so many hadiths that comes that if somebody is owing us money, the one hadith I have quoted, and that person is in genuine difficulty, and we give that person respite or we forgive that person, that Allah Ta'ala give us a shade on Qiyamah under his shade, my dear brothers. In one hadith, it is stated that if somebody is owing us money, and that person is genuinely in difficulty, not is just that one side is owing money, the next day is going for Umrah. One side is owing us money, the next time is driving a big car, and he's living it up. No, not that sort of person. He's in genuine difficulty. Then, my dear brothers, when his time has come up to pay, for every day that we give that person a lapse, my dear brothers, that Allah Ta'ala, how much money is owing us, Allah Ta'ala will grant us the full, making sadqa of that full amount of money. It comes in one hadith, where Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that Hazrat Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah Jihaz, from this way I went off, unfortunately, he says that once we are outside the Masjid al-Nabwi, where the Salatul Janaza was read. The Salatul Janaza in those who was read was just where we enter from Babi Jibrail. And Nabi Pak alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ma unzira al-lilda min al-tashdeed. That great severity has come down, revealed last night. Three times Rasulullah Pak sallam mentioned. Hazrat Muhammad ibn Abdullah said that we waited the whole day for some azab to come. Then Nabi Pak alayhi salatu wasalam, after no azab came, Hazrat Muhammad said, I asked him, that Ya Rasulullah, what sort of tashdeed and severity has been revealed? No azab has come. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, that a person has to become shaheed in the path of Allah Ta'ala and Allah gives him life again. Become shaheed and given life again. Become shaheed and given life again. And then too, that person will enter into Jahannam, will not enter into Jannat if he has a deen and if he is owing somebody any sort of money. So Allah grant us a tawfiq, my dear brothers, to make a firm intention. It comes in a hadith too, if a person is owing somebody money and he makes a firm intention of paying that money penny by penny, Allah will open the doors and Allah will make him pay the money. On the other hand, if our niyat is not saaf, our niyat is not clear. It comes in a hadith also. If a person has to take, man akhaza maala ghairihi, has to take some something from somebody else. and you redo itlafo, his intention is not to pay back, then Allah also will make means that that person will never pay back. And in the akhirat, if you have some good deeds too, then all those good deeds will be given to that person, whether it be Muslim or kafir. And then we do not have any good deeds, that person's evil deeds will be put onto us and will be sent into Jahannam. Allah grant us the tawfiq, my dear brothers, realizing what the object of our creation is, and making this firm intention in this dunya before we go into the qabr, my dear brothers, where nothing will help us, to clear all our mamlats and dealings up, and to see that we pay back every cent and every penny we have taken from someone. If we do not have enough money, wallah, my dear brothers, that person is kamyab and successful. If he is eating 3 times a day, he eats once a day, keeps his children hungry too, and pays the debt, even if it's 1 rand, 2 rand, wallah, billah, if his need is clean, Allah will open the doors. Even if he's owing 1 million rand, Allah Ta'ala will make him pay that sort of money. And on the other hand, a person can earn millions, if his need is not clean, his expenses will never end, and he will never pay the money. Allah grant us the tawfiq of earning what is halal, and spending what is halal, and bringing all the different facets, all the different teachings of Rasulullah Paksam in whatever part of life, whether it be our ibadat, mamla, dealing, muashir, all of them into our lives, so that we can achieve success in the dunya too, and in the akhirah too.